Joining me on the news line is attorney Christina Bergsten of the Animal Law Firm in Media, Pennsylvania. And attorney Bergsten, good morning to you.
Good morning, Laura. How are you today?
I am doing well. Thank you very much. You are representing the Sugart family, whose dog Gunner was shot and killed by Lebanon police on July 6th. I do want to ask you some questions about that, but before we even get into that, talk to me a little bit about the Animal Law Firm and when you started it, and what type of cases do you represent, obviously, as the Animal Law Firm?
So, to answer your first question, well, maybe I should answer your second question first. We represent pets and their people in that order. So we represent dogs who are accused of biting other dogs or other animals or other people. Because most attorneys, if you search dog bite attorney, it will come up with a personal injury attorney. So we're on the other side of that. We do pet custody disputes, service animal representation, veterinary malpractice. We do puppy lemon law violations if you're in Pennsylvania. We do any sort of breeder contract dispute or pet purchase contract dispute. And we serve pets and their people across three states now, Colorado, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey.
Well, I noticed that on your letterhead, your slogan for the law firm is fighting for the underdog. And
yes,
so are most of your cases dog-related, or, you know, have you done horse cases? Or I know you said animal custody cases and that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We represent all species. We're not limited to just dogs. I've had horse cases. I've had a spider as a client, a snake. I've had goats.
Get out of town. You've had spiders and snakes as clients, or they're people that hire you?
Well, yeah, it's the people who have to sign the agreement and you know, who end up paying the bill, but we consider both the person and the animal the client.
Was it like a tarantula or something? Or I mean, not just a common household spider, I don't imagine.
No, not the one that you find in the corner of your room. No, it was a tarantula. He was an emotional support tarantula, and he was wrongfully seized, and so we had to try to get him back, and we did.
Wow. That whole line of, of legal pursuit with regard to comfort animals and these emotional support animals or even service animals, that has, I imagine, become a very burgeoning industry in terms of legal representation.
Yeah, it has. For better or for worse, I guess, depending on which side of the dispute that you're on, with the advent of these emotional support animal certifications that you can get online, which are a huge scam, by the way, because there's no registry anywhere, statewide, citywide, or countrywide. Like, there's no registration for an emotional support animal. So paying these certification fees, is this the best scam ever created? I wish I had thought of it. You know, you just print off a certificate, charge somebody some places I've heard are charging $250 to get the certificate. It's crazy. And present it to your landlord, and then, you know, that more or less is acceptable under the law as it's currently written. The downside of that, of course, is that, you know, because it's so easy to get, there's some people out there that are abusing it, and they're making it harder for people who actually have a legitimate need. And there's also a lot of confusion between emotional support animals and service animals. So that's kind of hurting, the disabled populations when trying to enter a public space with their service animal, and then they're being accused. So that's an emotional support animal because they might have an invisible disability. So, that's sort of the explosion of that industry is for better or for worse in some ways, but it's a very interesting area of the law, and as of right now, emotional support animals can be any species, but service animals have been restricted to dogs only.
Well, so just, and not to get too far afield here, but so if somebody has a ferret that they say is their emotional support animal, does that hold any weight in terms of if they want to fly to California from Philadelphia and they want their ferret to be sitting on their lap? Is there any precedent to allow that to happen, or can American Airlines say no way?
No, that's a great question. So actually the FAA changed the laws regarding emotional support animals, and now emotional support animals are not allowed on planes, period. Like, only service animals are allowed on planes. So if you have an emotional support ferret, it doesn't matter how much that ferret comforts you. If you want to fly with an animal, with a service animal from Philadelphia to California, that service animal has to be a dog, and it has to actually meet some certain space requirements, unfortunately, which I think that's wrong. But yeah, so no emotional support animals on planes anymore.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, to your point, I think people were making a mockery of it because they were saying, my ferrets, my emotional support, my squirrel, my this, my that. And I think it does make a mockery of the people that do have either the invisible disabilities or the visible ones and, mm-hmm. you know, do require these animals as a means of controlling their emotions.
It makes it harder because now people with legitimate need are having to jump through a lot of hoops that they didn't have to jump through before. They're getting a lot more scrutiny. And you know, somebody with a disability doesn't need that extra aggravation when they're just trying to do things that everyone else is able to do.
Are there a lot of firms like yours?
I know there are other firms that practice animal law. Whether or not they do it exclusively like I do, or whether or not they do it full-time like I do, I couldn't say. I know there's one other one in Colorado right now. In New Jersey, there might be one or two. I don't think there's any in Pennsylvania. So, I mean, to answer your question, you know, in the states that I practice in, as far as I'm aware, I'm either the only or one of the very few that exclusively focus on animal-related cases.
Are there laws currently under consideration with the Pennsylvania General Assembly that certainly would benefit from your expertise in terms of hearings and such that they do before they actually put a law in place?
As of right now, I'm not sure. I know a lot of animal-related laws across the country were taking a back burner to COVID, catching up from COVID-related legislation. So right now, no, I don't think there's anything on the table for me. You know, most of my experience has to do with pet-related issues, and I would love to see someone change some of the pet-related statutes, particularly statutes that designate pets as property, because I think in our day-to-day lives, between you, me, and the fence post, everybody knows that pets are more than property to their owners, their family.
I was going to ask you about the concept of animal as property. I think in the law, you can tell me, the term is chattel. Is that like an old English term or something?
Yeah, it's an old English term. I don't know that they necessarily will use it nowadays. They'll probably just use the word property, but it's interchangeable. Yeah, chattel, property, it's all the same thing.